You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a podcast for women who are chasing epic and everyday adventures on their bikes. We are a production of Live Feisty Media and hosted by Christy Moan and Catherine Taylor.
Hey, Catherine.
Oh my gosh, we're out of practice of how to do this when we're not live.
Well, I said, hey, I started.
I think you said it while the thing was saying recording in progress.
Oh, love that new feature.
How was your 24-hour trip home?
Not pleasant.
You left really right after the race on Sunday because
I took about an hour and a half after I got the bike cleaned up and the van packed. I took about an hour and a half and then drove 10 hours and then slept for 4 and then drove 13. And like the best story was like I camped right outside of Sheridan, Wyoming. And of course, when I woke up, it was like 47 degrees. So I was in a sweatshirt and sweatpants and all cozy in my van. And I filled up a little bit later in a little further down in Wyoming where it was 55 degrees. And I was like, you know, enjoying the weather, enjoying the drive at that point, and then had to fill up again outside of Hays, Kansas, and stepped out of the van into a 97, feels like 103 degree furnace.
I'm like, we're not in Montana anymore.
I was like, oh God. Yeah, that I forgot about that. So, and it was hot and windy and awful all the way across that western Kansas portion. That was just like killer.
Yeah.
And the other truth is, and I hate to admit this because I know you like to make fun of me for being short because I am short, but in that van, my feet don't really touch the floor. So my left leg can be fine because I can actually like put it up on the door, you know, like
you have to touch the
dash a little bit and get some elevation to it. But my right foot was like an ankle were completely swollen when I was done because it just kind of hangs. So it was just hanging there for basically 23 hours minus 4.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. But endurance cycling, that mindset translates. It works for endurance driving too.
I was thinking of you when I drove all the way to Seattle, which was only 8
all
and a half
the
hours.
Way, whatever.
I was supposed to drive all the way back to Denver and then fly. So I was thankful that the rental car got changed, but, and you were still got like 4 hours to go. And I had driven 8 hours that day, which by the way, the top of like from where we were in Whitefish over through Coeur d'Alene is gorgeous.
Isn't that beautiful?
I drove to the bottom of Idaho before and it was just brown. It wasn't that pretty. And I was like, why is everybody bragging about Idaho? And I came across the Montana border into Idaho and I was like, holy crap, this is gorgeous.
Yeah. It's really pretty up there for sure. Really pretty.
So on the definitely on the list to head back to Coeur d'Alene, but it's turning into fall here already. I have my cozy hoodie on.
It's not anywhere close. We're 100 degrees and super humid for another like at least 2 weeks. So
sorry about that. I think I found an apartment.
Did you go small or did you go big?
It's probably the size of your van. It's
I think that you're gonna enjoy that.
It's so tiny. I haven't lived in such a tiny place in years, but I did enjoy it when I lived there. It's just like the mindset of because I work from home, like you know, when there's not, because I always had an office as my guest room from home, but I did get rid of a ton of stuff. Yeah. So I found this like super tiny place, but it's in this amazing location and an old house that's turned into 6 apartments, which is more of what I like than the big complexes. And I don't know, it just felt a little too quick to buy anything out here.
Yeah.
With not knowing exactly where I want to be. So I think I'm going to do it.
I think it's exciting. And I think you'll find little neighborhood cute places to go work during the day. So you can kind of break up your day. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, obviously not Zoom calls, but.
The biggest problem is I don't know where to put all my bikes.
Yeah.
My brother was like, you can hang them on the wall. So I just, have to figure out. Literally the kitchen is the size of my brother and sister-in-law's pantry, but my brother was like, well, you don't cook anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Nice.
I was like, nice. Fair point.
Good. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. But it was a really fun road trip. If people haven't gotten to go see some of our videos and listen to our podcast, it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We're already planning 2022.
Good. Yeah.
But we actually recorded today's interview before we left on this road trip, but we didn't release it because I say they're all, but this is really one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done.
Yeah. No, it's one of the more important ones we've ever done. And Abby Robbins is who we have on today, and they were the first non-binary transgender winner at Unbound, and they won the 100 mile distance. And Abby is incredibly well spoken, knows their stuff, and it's Abby just finished testifying in front of the Texas House.
Yeah, because they're passing some of those, I think, transgender youth laws. That's the problem with us being on this 2-week road trip. I'm really
a little bit behind. Yeah,
a little bit behind. And I was actually looking at the headlines today on CNN, and it was like the stuff in Afghanistan, COVID, and then something about Wendy's fries, and I was like, what?
These fries.
Interview with Abby is fantastic. They are really fun to talk to, and we had a really fun discussion about the Enneagram at the end.
Yes. I'm an 8.
We know. This is an example of Christy as an 8. In Whitefish, we discovered it was going to rain and we were supposed to do this brunch outside. And I was like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. You know, Christy's like, I found this community center. I got us in, but we have to decide today. Poor Jess is out like marking the course. We have to make a decision. So we just made this like call and set everything up. So it was amazing. I'm bringing Christy everywhere that we do any kind of organizational thing.
Just get out of my way. I got it. I was letting everybody work through their process. I held my tongue for a while we were working through things. And then I was like, can we just get a community center?
We had like an hour to decide.
Yeah. Well, because they're only open until 2 p.m. and it was Friday at like noon. And yeah, we had to make the call, but.
Yeah. And Jess was like completely out of cell service marking the course.
It worked out.
It was, we would have not had a brunch outside.
Yeah, it worked out so well. And what a rejuvenating Saturday that was, you know, a bunch of women, like 60 of us out riding our bikes in the mud and rain. And just, you know, we were like, should we turn around? And everybody was like, no, let's go. And, you know, just dang it. That was awesome. And then coming back to the brunch, which was really fun. So we did discover that my hair is the color of gravel.
It is your hair. Well, Montana gravel, at least.
Montana gravel. Yeah. Not Oklahoma gravel, but definitely Montana gravel. But it was really great. And there were lots of, it was really cool because of the number of like pro riders that were on that ride. And then your journey person athletes that were also on that ride, and watching them just mingle and meet and talk and realizing how many things we all just truly have in common. So good stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There was one woman on Sunday at the race that said, I forgot that there were men here. Between all the things, like she had traveled out with her female team, and I was like, score, because how many times have you gone to an event and been like desperately looking around for the other women?
Yeah, exactly. So it's good stuff.
Anyway, we'll stop babbling and get on to our interview with Abby Robbins.
Hey friends, we don't want chafing to keep you on the sideline from riding your bike, so we're bringing you some good news about chamois butter.
Chamois Butter has come on as one of the sponsors of the Girls Gone Gravel podcast.
They've been making chamois cream for over 30 years, and they've got tons of 5-star reviews.
So if you have ever been to your bike shop, you've probably seen that iconic purple and yellow tube. There are several different versions, including the original, the pH neutral, her,
tingly Euro style, which I'm very intrigued by, and coconut with certified organic ingredients.
They've got a special for our Girls Gone Gravel listeners. You can head over to chamoisbutter.com and you get free shipping on any orders of 2 tubes or more. They also have really fun limited edition merch, which I've got their cool Chamois Butter sweatshirt. These things, I wear this sweatshirt all the time. It's one of my favorites to wear. It's very soft and very warm.
I could say if you get any of their Chamois Butter gear, you will definitely stand out in a crowd. When we were at an event a couple of years ago, a guy had a Chamois Butter kit on and everybody knew who he was. Like everybody was cheering for him. So if you want to stand out, go over, get your 2 tubes of Chamois Butter, get your free shipping, and then find some cool swag and merch.
Yep. I think that sounds like a great idea.
Christy, we have a new sponsor on the podcast.
What?
JoJ Bars has come on as one of our sponsors.
Shut up. JoJ Bars are the best.
I know. We both got to try them after the founder of JoJ Bars, Jess Sarah, came on the podcast and she sent us a sample box. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite was lemon blueberry quinoa, which I was not expecting. How about you?
Mine was the pancakes and bacon.
Which tastes just like pancakes and bacon.
It tastes just like pancakes and bacon. And it's great. It's great to use on the bike or if I'm running late or trying to get out the door for a ride, which usually I'm running late and trying to get out the door. I just grab it and have breakfast on the way.
Yep. They taste good and you know they're good for you too. Jess is a chef and an athlete and she's not putting anything in her bars that she wouldn't put in her own body.
Yeah. So they're all gluten-free. They don't use any artificial flavors or protein powders. It's all formulated just for you for training or riding or just any adventure that you've got going on.
And knowing Jess, I bet she sent you a code.
She did. So listeners of the podcast can go to jojbars.com and use the coupon code GravelLove15. That's all lowercase, GravelLove15, for 15% off all your orders.
Nice.
I'm going to get some before we go on our next gravel trip.
Agreed.
Hi, Christy.
Hello. How are you?
Do you like my sexy voice? I've had a little head cold.
Your sexy voice and you're talking like you're on a speed play on the record.
I am. Our poor guest, I usually give the spiel about how everything starts. And I'm like, because my sister-in-law gave me real Sudafed, which is apparently the stuff that's good for meth. So you can sell it on the street. I'm not selling it on the street. I took it because I've had this head cold.
God. This is going to be a good one, folks.
Just no, we support up.
I'm into it. I'm into it.
But she goes, oh, it gives you a lot of energy. Yeah, it does. I took it at 6 o'clock this morning. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. But we've both been so excited about today's guest.
Very, very excited.
So we have with us Abby Robbins. Hi, Abby.
Hi, y'all.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
It's been a bit. I haven't seen you for a couple months.
Yeah, right? It's been a weird few months. Life has kind of blown up since the last time I saw you.
I know. I love how things work out. And in case our guests, our listeners don't know, our guest today, Abby Robbins, was our first transgender champion for the 100 mile at Unbound Gravel this year.
Yeah.
And I think it worked out really well with Abby having to come back to get her award because we got to pay special attention to them. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy since then. I did not show up at Unbound to get everything that I've gotten since crossing the finish line. I will say that much.
You definitely made a history. Okay, but first I want to make sure that we're clear, because what were your preferred pronouns, Abby?
My pronouns are they, them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We might screw that up. Just tell us if we do. Yeah. we said the same thing when Rach was on, like, sorry. So we want to hear about your history making Unbound, but first just tell us how you got into cycling and gravel. Like, what's your story?
Well, it's a short one. I mean, I started like cycling like in earnest in June of 2020.
I thought you were going to say 2021. I was like, right before that.
I'm not that crazy. Like I might be a little off, but I'm not that mm-hmm. intense.
So you were a pandemic cycler.
Yeah. Pandemic cyclist. My other work, I'm an Enneagram teacher and coach, and I finished my first book on June 1st. And when I got the second half of my advance, I was like, I have a lot of time now that has just opened up in my life now that I'm not writing 24/7 and I have a little bit of money. So I think I'm going to buy a bike. And so I started like researching bikes and what kind of bike I wanted. And I actually stumbled across Unbound while I was doing that research. And I live in Austin right now, but I actually grew up in Kansas. And so I was really intrigued by Unbound and like riding through the Flint Hills. And I was like, I want to do that. Like what kind of bike lets me do that? And so I got a bike and I was like, I'm gonna do Unbound next year. Like, I'm just like, that was like my goal in buying this bike was to actually like do this race. I thought I could do 200, but I found out very quickly that was going to be more than I could handle. But, yeah, that's basically my cycling story. It's like, there it is.
I love it. I love it. Cause sometimes people think they have to work up so far to do like a big event. And you did the 100.
Correct? Yes, I did the 100. So not the big race and not the big race, but the like
still a big race.
Yeah, it's still a big race.
Really that's all hard. I would word to there if I yeah. do a race there.
That is my least favorite thing is when people say, I only did the 25 or I only did the 50 or I only did the 100. And you know, I'm always just like, no, that's
yeah. Yeah. I can attest to that. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you like bought the bike knowing you wanted to do this event. And that was before Lifetime announced like they were going to have a non-binary category. Did you know that when you signed up you were going to have that category?
No, I had no idea. You know, I was just kind of like interested in having a project and a goal. Like I had had, I'd had this like really big goal in writing the book and doing all this work. And I don't do super well with unstructured time in my life. And so like, I really felt like I wanted to have like a project and something to work towards, like even if it was kind of far away, you know, being a year away. And so my focus was just like, I want to try and train and do this. And I did some other local races and I went to Oklahoma for a race and, you know, I didn't expect much in terms of like, you know, queer and trans representation like that. That would have been great. But like that never even really crossed my mind. And then Unbound sent that email like after registration and I was like, oh, that's amazing. I want that. Yeah, but it wasn't something I had like intended or like planned on. It was just, it was like a happy coincidence,
yeah,
really.
I love it. It's such a great way for it to work out.
Yeah, right.
Most randomness of ways. Like it's just proof that, you know, really the universe is gonna put it out there the way it needs it to happen. And you just gotta roll with it. So
yeah, for sure.
And I was so stoked that you weren't far away, that you could come back to
pick
the award. So personally, because that's, you know, that was the part I was looking forward to the most was when, because we made those awards on my back porch and branded each of those. And I was like, these are the ones for the non-binary champs. And I'm the one that branded those. We took them off to finish them up. And I was just like, I wanted to put that in your hands. So it was really, you know, mailing it would have been one thing, but it was really, really cool to be able to put it in your hands. So,
okay. You're jumping ahead on the story.
I'm sorry.
But that's super cool. That's like, that makes me feel like super, like that's really awesome. And for people who don't know the story, like I mean, like when I say that, like I wasn't expecting anything like from these races, like I didn't know I was going to get a trophy. Like I didn't know I was going to get to stand on a podium and all this stuff. Right. Like I was just out there riding my bike. And so literally the only thing I was concerned about after I crossed the finish line was like, I need food right now. Like I need food and I need a beer. Like this, that's all I'm concerned about. And yeah. And so it was super funny. Like you reached out to me on Instagram, like, mm-hmm. like a couple, like a day after, and my family lives in Kansas City. And so we were hanging out and we hadn't planned to go home until like Tuesday. And you were like, come back if you can, but we'll mail it. And yeah, we actually got to drive back through Emporia on our way home. And yeah, you did get to give it to me. And it was like, it was a really unexpected treat, you know, to have you there and the crew and like setting up the little background and getting to be on a podium and yeah, that was just like not something I would have expected like in my wildest dreams. But it was such a like an awesome experience.
Well, and your daughters got to see it. That to me, you know, that to me is what got me, was just like, ah, this is the best.
Yeah, I'm still trying to convince my oldest to like, come on, like we can go on more bike rides. And our youngest is like into it. She's like, yeah, like we could do the 25 mile. Like, and she's like seven. She's like, we'd have to train a lot. And I'm like, you girl are just like right after my own heart. And I'm so into this. So the hope is that the family can come up and ride next year as well. So the oldest, we might have to like prod her along a little bit, but
that's amazing.
The youngest one is like into it.
That's amazing. Well, I wanted to get into a little, I heard you on Payson McKelvin's podcast and I loved just talking about the story of realizing I'm the first and I'm also the only, and like kind of the thought process that went through your head. And even like while you're out there writing, like, I would love for you to share that a little bit more with our audience, kind of like what that thought process was for you. And then like what it ended up meaning to you.
Yeah. You know, like I said, like my cycling story is real short. And you know, I wanted to finish, but I had done a lot of like personal work around like really kind of understanding that like, this is a big undertaking. This is a really difficult thing to like, riding 100 miles is no joke, even just on the road. Right. But riding 100 miles in this kind of terrain, in this kind of heat, right. Like all of these things kind of coming together. I had to do a lot of work for myself to be like, it's okay if you don't finish. You know, like it was important to me to kind of have a sense of like, where is that line? Like, I don't want to give up too early. Like if I'm not going to cross the finish line, then I want to have a really clear idea of like, okay, where is that line for me? Of like when I can't go any farther. And so that was kind of my intent. It's like, I wanted to go and have fun. And like, that was kind of my like affirmation for the whole ride. Like bikes are fun. Like if I'm not having fun, something's wrong. Like bikes are fun. And that was kind of like also trying to convince myself, like bikes are fun. This is fun. Like there are moments I needed convincing. But we were literally on the way up to Emporia. Like we were driving up to Emporia and my fiance was driving and I was like looking up the like start lists or whatever, for the race. And that's when I realized I was the only one. And like, I was the only one in the 100 mile race. And then like, I went and I checked and I'm like scrolling through and pushing all the buttons. And I'm like, there's like 3,000 people here. There's gotta be more than just me. Like statistically speaking, and so I'm like, scrolling through and it was just me. And like at first I like kind of made some jokes. I was like, well, I'm gonna win my category, which, you know, is funny, right? But then it was kind of like, oh, this is like a world-class event. Like Unbound is not your like local cycling club's gravel race. You know, it's something really big. Like people are traveling from all over the country, from different countries all over the world. And it has this kind of larger than life quality in the cycling world, right? And so as that kind of sunk in and how I was the only one started to like sink in, it was like, oh, this is actually important. This isn't just about me anymore. This is about like a larger issue of representation and inclusion. And you know, if I hadn't crossed the finish line, like that would have been one thing and I would have had to have been okay with that. But, you know, there was something about that moment as it sank in, that it kind of like solidified this resolve within me that like, it doesn't matter what happens, just finish. Like, it's going to be hard. It's going to, you know, all these things, but like suddenly the finish line like had more weight. And you know, and I've actually struggled to like find the right word. I don't know how many times I've told this story at this point. Like life has gotten real weird and a lot of people want to hear this story and I'm happy to tell it, but this is the piece that like I struggle with, is like I'm not sure what word to like use here, because it's not that I felt obligated, but finishing suddenly felt so much more meaningful, because it wasn't just about me, you know, it was for my community and for people like me who don't see themselves represented in sport, for people like me who don't have a place in sport. And yeah, and so I really took that to heart and I took that really seriously. And so, I mean, I think it did kind of shift how I rode, because there was just kind of this sense of like, okay, cross, like make it to the checkpoint on time. And then you have another, like, I don't even know what the checkpoint time cutoff was, but I rolled into the checkpoint about noon. It's like, okay, I have 15 hours to do the next like 50 miles. Like, okay, I can manage that. Like, I'm not a great cyclist, but I can manage that. Yeah. And so, you know, it was much more focused on, you know, conserving energy and making sure that I could do it. Yeah. So yeah, it was an interesting like shift in perspective for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a weightiness to being the first at something, right? Like I was actually thinking about that with the Olympics, because there was a bunch of stuff like,
yeah,
I think 1984 was the first women's Olympics marathon. And like, you know, just like if you even look at the history of the Olympics and women coming up in the Olympics and transgender athletes and all, just like being that first there, even like Simone Biles this year, right? Like the first person to say, I'm not competing because of my mental health. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. there's a weight to that where, you know, you're representing the possibilities for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So yeah, I mean, it definitely, like, even still talking about it kind of, like, hits me in my feels, and I'm like, oh, man.
Mine too.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Knowing, it's funny because, like, being part of the organization team and the event team that puts these things on, it's like, you know, that's our biggest hope, And gravel, even through what Unbound has been through in the last year or so, it is incredibly inclusive, and it's supposed to be. And so if we're not getting it right, we need to keep doing it. And you finishing helps us do our job better. It helps us make it more inclusive. And, you know, so maybe some of that weight you felt was for me, because I was like, God, she's, you know, they've got to finish. They've got to finish.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's true.
Well, it lets us use our platform to tell the story and raise awareness and bring more people in.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I was talking to someone else and they were like, oh, so you like changed your registration. And I was like, actually, I couldn't figure out how to change my registration. And so I sent an email and I was like, can y'all change it for me?
Yep. It's in us being the first to go, you know, none of it was easy even on our end. And we were like, the sign up company Run Sign Up was working with it was all like intermingled. And, you know, it's just like, everybody was like, let's do it. Okay. Now we got to figure out how.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and even, you know, like since the race and since, you know, kind of getting some publicity and some attention around all this, like other non-binary riders who were at the race and who finished, like they've like reached out to me and they were like, this is so cool. Like I also couldn't figure out how to do the registration. And it's, you know, I laugh because it's like, oh, this is all happening to me because I sent an email, like, which it feels really silly, but it's still like, it's cool that like things are happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with Unbound and like the size of it, right? Like just the kind of magnitude that this event is in the community, like so many other events are like now able to do this better, right? Like, you know, even just having the, you know, option at registration when you first sign up, right? Like you didn't know that needed to happen, but you made it work after the fact. And now all these other events can make it that much
easier. Make it happen because
And that is, you know, like that's huge, in just being able to see yourself like reflected. I mean, it's something as simple as like a checkbox,
right,
on a website form. Like that's super important. And I mean, I don't like countless people have reached out to me and been like, that's awesome. If I had known that was an option, I would have been there. Mm-hmm. Like if that's an option for me, I'll show up. And it's like, it's not actually that hard for events to do this. It's just people didn't know. And now people know and will do it. And more people feel safe and welcomed to show up as who they are. Like, yeah. Which is, I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, like gravel is supposed to be inclusive. It's for everyone, right? Like you don't have to be an elite pro tour cyclist. Like anybody can get on a bike and ride these roads and challenge themselves to do something like incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, I've just like appreciate so much like Unbound taking the lead to really make this push, and other events are following suit, which is cool. Like we're seeing things change like right now.
Yeah.
And I'm stoked that I get to like be a part of it. It's like, I feel a little silly most days, but it's super cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I love this story. And I think because we had Rach McBride last year, we were talking about this a little bit before we came on the podcast, and they shared their story. And they actually were signed up initially for the Unbound, the 200, but then with their they live in Canada. So with the quarantine issues, it was just really hard to like
cross the border.
But I also like Rach gets so much attention, right? Because they're kind of the leader in this field. I think it's cool that it was kind of like an everyday athlete.
Yeah.
That was the first person, because I think like that's where a lot of people can I like how Kristen calls it the journeyman athlete, because I think journey person athlete. I think people can identify a little bit more than that. Like, Rach, you got purple hair and you're out there. You're sponsored by all these companies. We adore Rach. We actually wanted Rach to help guest host this podcast, but they're got an Ironman coming up.
Yeah, right. It's an Ironman, but like
kind of their job.
That, and I'm like, oh my God, that looks awful.
I know, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested in that one. Yeah. I can watch 200 miles of gravel and be like, okay, I'll do that. But that, no.
Yeah, I think it does. Like, it is something interesting, you know, I've said several times, like, life has gotten weird for me since Unbound.
Tell us about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
Well, you know, just like events and people and brands and like they're, you know, I guess in some respect, like I've become kind of like a lightning rod for this movement in this very like particular space. Like Rach has their space, like with triathlons, and they're doing a lot of really awesome work on a much more like pro level. And like you mentioned, like they're a little unapproachable because they're busy and like this is their job and they're doing it and they're doing it very well. But I'm just like this kind of everyday person, right? Like I've been cycling for like a year. Like I did the math and I think it was like Unbound was actually like the day before my like 1 year cycling anniversary of like when I bought the bike. Like it was like technically less than a year. And you know, when Unbound posted about our little podium ceremony, like my Instagram blew up. Like I was up like 700-800 followers like in a day. People were reaching out to me and you know, there were like athletes and people who were talking about how meaningful they thought the story was and how excited they were that there was a space for them in this sport. There were people, there were several events that like reached out and were asking for support and like, how do we do this? Can you help us, you know, tell us like, what to do.
Put a box on the registration.
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's part of it. And, you know, I've actually had the opportunity to work with, kind of consult with a few events. That's awesome. About like what happens beyond adding the checkbox? Like, yeah. What does it look like to really create an inclusive event? And you know, it's interesting because like this is actually a lot of my work in the other spaces that I work in. I'm a yoga therapist and I, you know, wrote the world's first like queer inclusive, you know, queer and trans inclusive yoga therapy curriculum that I present to my school, you know, every couple years. I do a lot of this work in the Enneagram community. And so there's like a piece of this that I feel pretty well equipped for. It's just funny because like in yoga therapy or in the Enneagram world, like I know my shit. Like I am like, I don't know how far I would call myself an expert, but like, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. I'm someone you can trust with this information. And then it comes to like cycling and I'm like, I don't know. Like, bikes are fun.
Bikes are fun. Bikes are fun. Bikes are fun. Bikes are fun.
Bikes are fun. Like, let's let bikes be fun for everyone.
Hey, so, that's like the best.
Yeah.
We make it too serious sometimes.
The best advice.
Yeah. But that's been, you know, like being able to like work with people and help make this an easier thing for more events. Like if more events are doing this, right, if this trickles down, then more people can get involved on every level. And I can't talk a whole lot about it just yet, but like I've been working with some brands you know, in order to like use this momentum and really try and not only tell this story, but tell an even bigger story, you know, through these different platforms, to help make, you know, cycling as inclusive as we want it to be, right? Like,
I'm really glad to hear that. Cause I think that's really what I always hope that this platform does, that the Unbound platform does, is give you that voice and give you that connection and give you those relationships. And you're obviously skilled and capable of doing those things, which is important because, like, you know, that's the role that you landed in by crossing that finish line.
Yeah.
By lining up at the start line and crossing the finish line, both of them, you know, but
yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. Definitely.
I'm curious, cause I'm sure this hasn't been all roses. Like, I'm sure you've had some haters. How have you dealt with those? Yes.
Haters get blocked. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not, haters are nothing new. I mean, sadly, like, I'm just as familiar with the shitty messages and comments and, you know, emails and all of that. Like, I that has been a near constant in my life since coming out. And I try not to talk about it too much because I don't think that that's important. Occasionally, I think it's helpful for people to understand that it still happens. Mm-hmm. And I still get shit from people. In a fairly regular fashion. But, you know, I'm not going to waste my time on that. That's not important. There are, you know, everyone in my community knows it happens. And my goal with any of this, with anything, is to serve and support my community. And getting bogged down in that stuff doesn't help my community, because we're all bogged down in it. And so my goal and my focus is to stay focused on the work and what we can do to make things better. And, you know, how can I help support people so that when that shit happens to them, they have the tools to handle it. Yeah. So yeah, definitely not all roses.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Well, I like that you block them and that you ignore them. I also want to just say to people, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all.
No.
Just keep your trap shut.
I have a feeling that, like, the people listening to this podcast are not the people we need to
know. But maybe we just all need to wear t-shirts around like that for a while again to remind people, like, hey, when you were growing up and your mom said that to you, it still applies.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, there's a reality of the non-binary category and the non-binary, like, that's a newer conversation in our society. So I think that there really are people that don't understand. And sometimes when you don't understand something, you react out of fear or what you've been taught growing up, instead of, like, getting to know somebody and understanding their story. And, which is one of the reasons that I wanted, you know, to have you on, because I grew up in a small conservative town. And so I know it wasn't until much later in life that I experienced a lot of things. It was through relationships that, I was like, oh, this isn't as, like, I was taught this was wrong, but this isn't, like, right. But it was because I had relationships with people, not because somebody was yelling at me on social media. We didn't have that back when I was growing up.
Right. Nobody was yelling on social media then.
I know. Thank God.
Right. Well, and I think there's, you know, I don't, you know, there's part of me that, like, doesn't, I don't know how I want to say this. Like, you know, as far as, like, the, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. It's like, there's something about the last few years where, there's just been a lot of not nice things said. And honestly, I think that it's actually been really valuable to see how ingrained these things still are. Like, I think I live in Austin, Texas, right? That's definitely a very, like, blue political bubble in a very red state.
Not for the rest of Texas.
Yeah, right.
You get outside of Austin, you're like, things get weird outside of Austin. And they think Austin's weird.
Right. And it's like, okay, I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people listening to this podcast who are like nodding their head in agreement, like it's really easy to assume that things are a lot better than they are. And that like, oh, like, you know, we've ended racism and we've ended homophobia and transphobia and like, we can all live happily ever after. And, you know, that kind of the stuff that I get, like, and the stuff that everyone in my community gets, and, you know, the kind of screaming on the internet, like, it really shows that, like, no, we still have a lot of work to do in all of these areas. And I don't think that it's, I mean, it sucks to experience, don't get me wrong. And I can see the value of these things coming to light so that we can actually come together as a community and work with them and create real and lasting change, like you said, through these relationships and the, you know, the power that's behind that, right? Like, yeah. So, yeah.
Now, there was a woman in our Facebook, we have a private Facebook group, and there was a woman in there, transgender athlete, and she posted something. And like, there were a bunch of a lot of supportive comments, but some comments that were like, I don't think women, you know, like the whole categories thing, like that whole conversation, it got reported as flagged. And I was like, well, it's not like it's a disagreement. It's not a disagreement that I agree with, but like, you know, so I reached out to the woman, the original post. I said, do you want me to take this off? Like it's been, and she said, no, I want people to see the things that I come up against. And there's nothing like horrible or mean or hateful. In there, it's just like people need to understand kind of exactly what you were saying. Yeah. Like we kind of get, if we live in our bubble where mm-hmm. everybody kind of believes the same thing we do, then we're like, well, everything's fine. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And I definitely think that, you know, there's a piece of like, if something does cross the line into like hateful or whatever, like, yeah, take that shit down. Like that's not helping anyone. But a lot of times, I mean, even on social media, you can get a feel for like when someone just doesn't understand or hasn't had those relationships versus someone who's like actively, you know, disregarding my humanity. And, you know, you have to kind of know that line, because at some point, yeah, like we want to be able to have discourse and have a conversation and say, here's all the reasons why trans women are women and belong in women's sports. You know, and so much of the time, like, you know, they say knowledge is power. And if you don't have knowledge, you don't have that power. You don't have that understanding. Like you said, you react out in fear. And, you know, so much of the discourse around this conversation is really stoked by misinformation and fear. And so, you know, sometimes it can be helpful, like leave those comments up, have a civil discourse about it. And, you know, things turn south, haters get blocked, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get to the Enneagram stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm super curious, because you're an Enneagram coach.
Yes.
And that's the book that you finished writing.
Yeah.
So, to my friend, Cassie Kratz, who I'm sure will be listening to this, this is your person, Cassie. They know about Enneagrams.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to know? Like
people don't know what they need, give like the 2 minute of what the Enneagram is.
What is
people don't know.
What is it?
And then we can all tell which one we are.
Yeah. Okay. the Enneagram is it's a personality typing system, kind of, at the most basic level. But essentially at kind of a deeper level, the Enneagram itself is a symbol, and the symbol is it's like sacred geometry. There've been like mystics and other like, you know, spiritual teachers who've taught this symbol as, it's about to get real woo-woo for anybody who's listening. It's the manifestation of energy in the universe. Like this is how all things come to be. Like they emerge, they define, and then they die out and the cycle continues. But what's interesting about it is that it also really outlines very clearly 9 very distinct personality types, or sometimes depending on who you're talking to, it might be called neuroses, that we humans fall into. And essentially kind of drawing from some like Eastern mysticism, like the, you know, desert mothers and fathers of Christianity, the Sufism, you know, Kabbalah out of Judaism, kind of leaning on this Eastern spirituality and combining it with Western psychology. Enneagram teachers have developed this system that helps us to see our unconscious patterns and learn how to work with those in order to live a more intentional and meaningful life. The whole kind of premise of the Enneagram is that we're asleep and we're all just kind of functioning out of our patterns, and that we have only very few moments where we're actually present and in control of what we're doing. And most of the rest of the time, it's just kind of this pattern behavior that's running. And it helps you to see those patterns and to catch those patterns in the moment so that you can choose something that is maybe more appropriate or even more loving and more caring and more connective. Yeah, so there's my rundown of the Enneagram.
I like that.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I also like that what you said, like, so you can choose something better or more.
Yeah,
I said it more eloquently than I just did. But I think sometimes, like, we take a personality test, we're like, well, that's just how I am. But it's like, well, actually,
That is how you are, and that's why you know,
and that's why your life kind of sucks.
But I think, if I'm remembering this correctly, like, there's the Enneagram, like, when you're operating, when you're healthy, like the good qualities, and then you can kind of like, when you're unhealthy, like these qualities that you don't really want to see will come out, and you can start to identify in your life. Like, for example, I've been really had a ton of stress the last few weeks. And I was like, I know I've gone really negative, and like everything is just terrible. And my boss was like, actually, you just get really quiet. And I'm like, well, in my head, I'm really negative.
I think that's one of the things that kind of sets the Enneagram apart from like your Myers-Briggs or your Strengths Finder or DISC, or, you know, there's all these different kind of like very corporate personality assessments that people are really, you know, they're kind of in the, you know, in people's understanding, is that the Enneagram it's dynamic mm-hmm. by its very nature. You know, even the symbol itself, the reason I start with the like woo woo description is because it gets at this like dynamic nature of it. It's like, yes, this is where you are right now. And this is what you look like when things are going really well. And this is what you look like when things are not going so well. And here is a path that you can take to move towards growth and towards integrating you know, all of these parts of yourselves, and how to live a life that is more, more fulfilling, more, intentional. I mean, those are always the words that I come back to, because that's kind of what, it's really done for me. Like, it improves relationships and makes you a better parent and makes you a better athlete, right? Like, understanding these kind of unconscious patterns and knowing what to do about them when they start doing their thing. You know, the ability to actually change and grow is what makes this so valuable.
Nice. Okay. Let's all say what our Enneagram are.
Are we going to reveal it? Like 1, 2, 3, we're all going to say it at the same time, or like, can we just say it? Like,
we can just say it. Christy, you start.
I'm an 8.
I'm also, I also identify as an 8.
Okay. So the 8 is, we can probably just tell us, but I'm going to read off this thing I found. The powerful, dominating type, self-confident, decisive, willful, and confrontational.
Yeah.
How do you, just how do you, like, in a healthy Enneagram, like if you're being healthy, like, you know how to control that, right? But like, do y'all have any things where you see like, ooh, that's when it gets a little out of control, or that's when I know that I'm not operating in a healthy way? Like, what are your signs?
Personally, and Chrissy, don't feel like you have to answer this. I have to answer these questions like every day for my job. So it's very run of the mill for me to say things like this.
I can answer for Christy.
This is one of the things that we talk about.
When Tim tells her to call me back because she was short with me on the phone.
That's the thing that's kind of interesting about the Enneagram, is because it, at some point, like, it's going to call you on your shit, and it might get a little uncomfortable, right? Like, there are some things that are like, oh, like, as you find your type, there's going to be something pretty cringeworthy in it for you. And I think for me, the like negative aspects of myself and of this like personality type in general, I hate saying this, but it's the truth. Like, they come out the most with my kids. Mm. Like, that is where I am the most like, God, hard-assed, like, it is this way because I said it's this way. You're gonna listen to me because I'm in charge. And it's like, first of all, that does not work with kids, right? It's just, it's a fool's errand. It's totally dumb. But it, like, it comes out of something that, like, I can't even, I'm not even super aware of. It just was kind of like, oh, and then a second later, I'm like, why did I say that? Like, what? And it's very like deep and gut reactive. And so for me, a lot of the work that I'm doing now revolves on how I relate to my kids. Like, I've done a lot of work in other areas so that I don't come off as super domineering and control freak and rageaholic, right? Like, all of these. Christy, I'm glad you're laughing.
I just realized that my brother is an Enneagram 8 after living here with him for like the last 6 weeks with my niece. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, that's what
it is. Enneagram 8. And my sister-in-law is whatever, the one that's super compassionate. And I'm like, they're like conflicting over parenting all the time. I'm like, they're going to reason. They might hire you, Abby.
Okay. I mean, please do. This has been great. But yeah, you know, I've done a lot of work in all these other areas, and you know, there's always work to be done, you know, personally and out in the world. And this is where I'm at. It's like working with my kids and trying to be more compassionate, like in the moment. And it's hard.
So I can do it and then I can't. I can do it and then I can't.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a good friend of mine, you know I'm an 8, and you know when I do that I'm not doing it because I'm mad at you, or that I'm just doing it because that's just
what I do.
The way I do it. Yeah. And it's not okay, but
yeah, you know, and I've had a lot of friends like learn the hard way that like I will push you, right? Like, I'll get up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And what I actually want from you is for you to push back, not like cower and scurry away.
Right.
But rarely does that happen. Like,
you're supposed to come back at me. We're supposed to.
Yeah. Right. And like, to an 8's mind, it's like, yeah, of course that makes sense. If I push you, you're going to push back. And then I get what I want. And everyone else is like, you just pushed me. What the hell? I'm leaving. And I'm like, that was not what I intended.
Wait a second.
Wait. Rewind. What?
Well, the way I have to tell the story, because I'm sure Cassie's going to listen to this, but she really took an interest in Enneagram during COVID. And mm-hmm. one day she's like, I want you to take this test. I'm like, I'm not taking this test. And she's like, I want you to take the test. I mean, she would not stop. And she's like, I think you're an 8. And I'm like, oh my God, she is not going to stop till I take the test. I'm like, yeah. Pull it up. I take a test. I'm like, I'm an 8. And she's like, oh, I knew it. Like, and it's
like, you're like, this explains a lot.
Yeah. And then she's like, she's a 4. And I'm like, oh, you're a total 4. Like, you know, yeah. I'm like, so it's just been funny because she, you know, she brings it up and all of us kind of roll our eyes. But at the same time, the truth is there's been some very much helpfulness to it in our friends group, understanding how each of us like naturally trends. So
yeah.
Catherine, what are you?
I'm a 3, which is the success oriented pragmatic type, adaptive, excelling, driven, and image conscious. First thing I said was I look horrible on the call when we got on.
But the fact that you've mentioned it lets us know that you are image conscious. I would have shown up. I mean, I'm showing up looking like me and I'm like, I don't care. Whatever.
I don't have time for that. Get out of my way.
I will say, like, the pragmatic, because I don't know when this might come out after our trip, but as Christina knows, I've had this like whole disaster in my travels with my car and all this stuff. And I'm so pragmatic. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. If I can't get the trip, and I'm like, I'm making this like 6 times harder on myself trying to figure out how to do this trip in Colorado, like, than if I just like went with what doesn't make the most logical sense, but would mm-hmm. just be fun. So I shoot myself in the foot a lot. Like, I try to make, I'm too pragmatic about it, or I'm like, you know.
And threes like to play the game on hard mode. Like, they want to prove to everybody that they can do it. So oh, they yeah. intentionally make things harder on themselves than they need to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I will like
your bike, hours trying to figure something your bike out. Will fit in that damn bag, Catherine. Just like put it in the bag. She says, my bike won't fit in this bag. It's a road bike bag, not a gravel bike bag. I'm like, it's the same.
No, it's a tri-bike bag.
Doesn't matter. It will fit.
I'm like, wait, this is like the unhealthy because I've had a lot of stress. So I'm like laying on the garage floor last night. Like, everything's horrible. I can't even go on this trip.
Yeah. That sounds, yes, that is like quintessential three. Like, when things have, when the shit's hit the fan, they're just like, I'm going to be glued to the couch. I'm going to lay down and not move.
So then I went and got my 8 brother and I was like, get this bag, bike in this bag.
Yeah. We're good at doing things. I will say.
He was like, I was like, I don't think.
I'm an insane problem solver. You've got a problem. I will fucking solve. It's taking
care of. Oh yeah. Christy's like 4:30 in the morning. I get a text message from Christy, like trying to problem solve my trip to Colorado. I'm like,
here's what you got to do
early.
Yeah.
It's bullet points. Done, and it's taken care of. Like, that's thank how you. We approach the situation, and we're usually right.
Yes,
just saying. I might not like it, but it'll work.
It's so bad.
It was funny getting the bike in the bag too, though, because there was like one of the cables was sticking out of the back, and I was like, I don't know. And he's like, no, we're zip tying it in, and then we're, I was like, I may never get this bike back into the bag the way it was before, but okay, we'll get it there. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been so fun. We could talk Enneagram all day. But
I think we need to have Abby come do some sort of Enneagram session with the Live by C team. I think it'd be incredible.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
I really want to know what Celine is, although I'm pretty sure she's an 8 as well.
So, anyway. You gotta be careful with too many 8s in one room. Like, it could be explosive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if people now want to hire you or find out more about Enneagram, where do they go to find you and to follow you on social and all the things?
Well, I mean, my like work is all at Conscious Enneagram, consciousenneagram.com. My book is called The Conscious Enneagram. That's my Instagram handle, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. And then like my bike stuff is like over in a little Instagram corner at Queer Gravel. And that's where I post all the like videos of me riding my bike. I still think that that's really funny because it really just started as like, here's me trying to train for Unbound. And now it's like, people are listening to what I say.
We started, I think Unbound started following you fairly. I was like, cool.
So fun. Are you going to be at any other events this year?
Actually, I will be at Rebecca's Private Idaho at the first weekend in September.
Nice.
And there are some more events that I might be at this year. I'm not sure. We're still kind of like hammering things out. This was not part of the plan, by the way. Like, my plan was like, do Unbound and then
go back to work.
Life continues and I might do Unbound next year if I liked it the first time. But now it's like, there are people who are willing to support me to go and do some of this stuff and have some more of these conversations and talk with these people and do this kind of work. And so I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to be like, okay.
Good.
Yeah. So there might be a few more events after RPI, but I will definitely I have a little bit better idea of what next year looks like. I'll be at the Mid-South. I'll definitely be at Unbound again.
You gotta defend.
Right? Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that my fiance is a little mad at me about. I want to go for the 200. So we'll see how that goes. Like, here's hoping I can train enough to make that realistic.
Yeah.
Well,
little known fact, Mid-South was designed to be a test run for Unbound. So when you go to that, you're supposed to see where you're at in your training and if you're on track. So if you're going to Mid-South, you know.
Yeah. I'll have a good like litmus test to be like, okay, I got to ramp it up or no, I'm good or we'll see. Or like, this is totally out of the realm of possibility. That could be part of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well,
thank you again so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it.
Christy, do you know one thing that I'm really sick of?
What is that?
All the freaking trends and that are coming out in wellness. Like, eat this, avoid that. I don't even know where to start.
I don't know where to start. I don't know who to trust.
Yeah. But we have a new sponsor that I'm pretty excited about. Have you done your setup?
Yeah. I'm so stoked.
Yeah. So Inside Tracker is our new sponsor, and they're going to cut through all the noise, and they're going to analyze our blood, DNA, lifestyle, and fitness trackers. And then we get personalized, science-backed, trackable action plans for how we should eat, age, we need that, and perform better.
I know. I'm excited. It's the cool thing about it is it's cheaper and it's way more convenient than the traditional blood tests. They include biomarkers that are key to performance. So information that we're not getting from traditional blood tests. And I think my favorite part is that they're not just going to give us the data, but they're providing us with nutrition and lifestyle tips to help us take action and cut through the noise.
Yes, I love that because I feel like whenever I go to the doctor and I get blood tests, I have no idea what to do with them, right?
Exactly.
Yep. And they don't apply to like whatever I'm doing. And the good news is because they are a sponsor of the podcast, all of you all get 25% off their entire store. You just go to insidetracker.com/girlsgonegravel.
Change is an inside job. Start on the inside.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.